Welcome in to another edition of the Daily Tap. It is Friday, March 23rd. We are under a week away from opening day. Baseball is soon to be here. We have college basketball in full effect. A crazy night of Sweet 16 hoops. I think the games broke in ways that I don't know if we expected. Three underdogs win if you're going by Vegas numbers. Basically, I think the most shocking thing was Kentucky, the way Kentucky played. But we'll get into that in just a moment. Talk about Friday's, today's slate as well. And then look at the Bucks going to be without Giannis tonight and what that means for the team. But before we get going, you can find us, SnowTapWI, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, SnowTapWI. It's a website, as well as subscribe to us on iTunes and Google Play. All right, let's jump into the Sweet 16 action last night. Quite an eventful way to start with Loyola and Nevada. I had said on the podcast yesterday, go back and listen, about how I thought that this would be the best game of the night. I thought that the way these two teams played, just kind of an up and down style a little bit. Then you had the three-point ability of both teams. And Loyola got it done. Marcus Towns hits the big shot to go up four. Nevada can't do anything because they weren't fouling, because they only have about a six man rotation, so they didn't want to get anybody in foul trouble. Turned out a bit Nevada in the ass. Nevada really needed the referees for the next game in the Atlantis region, where they were calling everything. Like, the Nevada needed that, at least at the end of the game, where they could have accumulated some fouls, because that game could have had at least two or three more possessions. But with the way that Nevada didn't foul, Loyola was able to run it out after Caleb Martin hit another big three. Nevada was so fun to watch. They got down every game, and they came back every time. And Caleb Martin's a stud. If Caleb Martin wants to suit up in a Bucks uniform next year, I'm not going to complain. The Wolfpack made a valiant effort. Loyola was the better team, and they move on, and they get a chance to go to the Final Four as sort of the Cinderella, this Loyola or this VCU George Mason type. They both happen to be 11s, but they can kind of etch their name along with those other teams. And with the way that the brackets shaped out, Loyola could play for the national championship, which is a wild thing to think about, but it is possible. This bracket on the left side is absolutely nuts. And I said this last week about winners and losers. It was actually on Monday's podcast about how the committee has really failed us. We're going to talk about reseeding the Final Four. That's going to be a hot topic, especially if you get Villanova versus Kansas or Villanova versus Duke. Any real side on that right side with ones and twos still remaining and a three remaining in the East, you're going to get a lot of conjecture about how this should have been reseeded at the end of it, because this is it necessarily isn't the greatest for the Final Four. You have one great game and one sort of meh game, but the idea of a David versus Goliath with Loyola playing Duke or Loyola playing Villanova would be something special. Now, Loyola has to get there, and they have to go through Kansas State, not Kentucky. I thought Kentucky had a cakewalk. Everyone thought Kentucky had a cakewalk, and they end up losing to Kansas State. Kansas State got red hot from deep, and they never stopped. The Wildcats were great out there, and even though the game was terribly officiated with everything called, and it really was a shame that it was, because it was a close game. It was an exciting basketball game, but the refs slowed it down and decided to call everything. And I really hate when the refs realize that they, you know, sort of started calling all these fouls, so they have to compensate and just call everything. It is ridiculous. Xavier Sneed was awesome for the Cats with 22 points. He made 5 threes, 9 rebounds in the game. He was fantastic. So, and the fact that Kansas State is doing this without their star player, Dean Wade, who, if you listen on the broadcast, it sounds like they're saying D Wade, so it throws you off as a Marquette fan. But the fact they're doing it without their first team all Big 12 player, who's bundled by a foot injury, is incredible. Wade played 8 minutes in this game tonight. It'd be interesting to see if they get to the Final Four, he'll be able to go. And that makes Kansas State kind of an interesting team. Who would have thought, though, that Kansas State would be this far, and they were able to take down Kentucky. Kentucky, you know, Calipari was like, this isn't a cakewalk, and he, I think he tried so hard to stress to his players, like, don't come in overconfident with this, and they did exactly that, and nothing you could do. And Matt Jones of Kentucky Sports Radio, probably the person to look to when it comes to Kentucky sports, said, look, this was Kentucky all year. They could beat anybody. They could lose to anyone. So that, and that's great. I mean, that's a great point. It's why they're a five seed. And I think we saw it all. And so, yes, Kentucky gets bounced. And now we have a Loyola Kansas State matchup for the right to go to the Final Four, which I know that on, in optics wise, it doesn't sound great, but sometimes those are the games that deliver you absolute classics. So don't be surprised if we get a beauty from those two teams on Saturday afternoon. So moving out to the West, Florida State, another surprising win. I don't think anyone had Florida State winning this game. A lot of people had Gonzaga either going to the Final Four or in the Elite Eight in their brackets, and Florida State decided to come in that place and ruin the whole party. The Seminoles were on fire. They got on a late run in the first half to pull it to about a 9-point lead heading into the break, and that sort of propelled them. They were money. I mean, they really played high level basketball. And yeah, in Florida State, I think we saw it in that Xavier game. They play with a ton of confidence. They play very loose, play very free, sort of just, you know, they roll the ball out and play basketball. And I think Gonzaga got a little tight, and we just didn't see the offense from Gonzaga that I think we saw in the first two games. And now they did miss a star player who was out with a hip injury, re-aggravated in practice, did not suit up today, could have affected the game a little bit. But Florida State just looked like the better team out there. Gonzaga kind of would bring it back a little bit, and then Florida State would push it right back out. They played free and loose, and they're setting up a hell of a matchup with Michigan on Saturday. Michigan ran right through Texas A&M. Texas A&M, some people thought maybe could pull off the upset. Maybe had figured it out. Michigan beat them by 27 points, 99-72. The Wolverines were all over them early. They didn't stop. Mo Wagner with 21 points in this one. The Wolverines play just a beautiful brand of basketball. I told you guys how much I enjoy Jean Beilein, and they do have a pathway to make it all the way to the final game. And Michigan, I think it needs to be taken with a little more respect. I feel foolish because if you listen to an original, I think I have Michigan in Final Four, actually. But yeah, I was all over Michigan to get to the, no, I went to North Carolina. That's right. Cause they didn't have the balls. Originally I had Michigan, and then I looked at it and I was like, Arizona and Michigan in my Final Four. I was like, I don't know who's going to win the national championship game or win that game. I didn't want to put Arizona in that far for obvious reasons. And I'm like, if I just would have put Michigan in the final game, I'd be sitting good right now. Cause I feel like the two best teams right now are the three really are Villanova, Duke, and Michigan. Now, a lot can change tomorrow or today, and we'll see what happens. But those two, three feel like the three teams that are in the Final Four, and then we'll see to toss up between Kansas State and Loyola. So, yes, great effort by Michigan. That against Florida State should be really fun on Saturday. That will probably be the late game. I haven't looked at the times. I would assume that is your late game. Kind of a brutal, you know, I think if you're talking to CBS and TBS, they were hoping, oh, we'll get Kentucky Loyola, David versus Goliath sort of thing. Brewing Michigan, Gonzaga would be a lot of fun. A lot of good basketball there. Instead, they probably get the worst. I would say the worst case would have been Texas A&M, Florida State. But they get kind of a bad final, bad Elite Eight just from a ratings perspective. But you still get Sister Jean. I know some people are getting sick of Sister Jean. I don't really know how you can be that much of a cynical asshole to stop caring about a 98-year-old nun. Very spicy takes, if I don't say so myself. Moving on to the Sweet 16 tonight. I think today there are a few good games, and there are a few just kind of like Villanova West Virginia was the favorite game of all the Sweet 16s. I think that is an awesome game. I'm loving to see how Javon Carter and the Mountaineers are going to do with the press against a Villanova team that's up tempo, that shoots a ton of threes. I could see it either being a very close game and going down to the wire, or Villanova blowing them out by 20. and because West Virginia just can't keep up. Now, the other thing to keep in mind, West Virginia has had big leads this year and then kind of sat on them and let teams come back. Don't be surprised that happens. I would not be surprised in the slightest. Villanova has the recipe to come back. And the Wildcats obviously have looked like the best team in this tournament. They're going to try to keep that going against a very good West Virginia team. That should be a hell of a basketball game. Don't sleep on the other game in the East, Texas Tech Purdue. Maybe a little more defensive, but Kareem Evans versus that Carson Edwards and the Purdue Boilermakers. Isaac Haas, I don't think will play, so you'll get a lot of Matt Herms. I think this is a different element for the Purdue team. Purdue, I do think, has a little bit of like, we want to get there. We know this is our best opportunity. And Purdue hasn't been to a Final Four, I believe. It's like they're, you know, a team that has been cursed throughout the years and gotten close so many times. And this does look like the best Purdue team. And I think Purdue does know that. I picked Texas Tech in my bracket because I don't really trust Matt Painter in late game situations, but this does sort of feel like Purdue. I liked how Purdue played against Butler. I thought Texas Tech was good, and Texas Tech has won two close games, but you just wonder sometimes when you get by the skin of your teeth if it bites you in the ass in that third game around. Finishing up with the Midwest, which I'm not really that hyped on. Duke Syracuse is all right. It's an ACC matchup. I've already talked about how much I don't really enjoy watching Syracuse play, but Roger Sherman wrote a great piece on The Ringer yesterday about kind of appreciating what Syracuse does in the tournament. And it's true. Like, Jim Boeheim's the killer. Jim Boeheim may not have the Final Fours, but the guy has found a way to get to the second weekend with really shitty talent the last few years with Syracuse, and it's been a mixed bag. I mean, I guess when you coach that long, it'll always be a mixed bag, but Syracuse has had some pretty solid runs through the tournament the last few years. So I don't expect them to beat Duke. Duke has basically taken Syracuse's zone and made it into their own, which is great. So it could be a low scoring affair, or the Dukies could run them right over. Kansas-Clemson. See, the thing about Kansas-Clemson is I'll be honest, hand up, I haven't watched a single game of Clemson this year. I can't tell you much about Clemson. I can tell you I know they're missing their star player, but the game itself is not one that I know much about the Tigers. Now, Clemson blew through Auburn, just absolutely blew them. I mean, Brad Brunell had the quote, who's Clemson's coach, "Nobody is going to know who I am. It's like coaching in the ACC. I don't look down on the other end when we're coaching. It's not good for my mental health. I'm not worried about looking at Coach K, Bill Self, or Jim Boeheim." You know, yeah. So he's basically saying, like, hey, look, I'm a nobody. And yes, they have a very good defensive team, and they're going to give Kansas all they want. Udo Uzebuke, though, is going to be back for Kansas with no limitations. That's a huge lift for the Jayhawks. Big lift. So we'll see. Maybe that game is better than I expect. I don't know. But yes, I have no real clear vision on Clemson. And they're going to win now, because then I'm going to need to smart myself. But I promise I'll watch. I'll give you my Clemson takes on Snowtap WI on Twitter. Tonight is the Bucks versus the Bulls. No Giannis, probably. He's doubtful for the game. Could this be a huge Jabari Parker game? So we saw Jabari play 30 minutes on Wednesday. He had 20 points in that game. He gets the hometown. He's back at the UC. It's a team that could offer him the max and make the Bucks match. You have to imagine Jabari is going to show out for this game. He's going to try to have a big night. Hopefully he doesn't do too much out there. Bulls really have been struggling. So it's a good game for the Bucks to take advantage. It's a good game for Giannis to miss. They need to win, obviously. They can't lose a game to this piss poor Chicago team that has no interest in winning. But usually we do see Middleton and Bledsoe step up when Giannis has missed a couple games. Curious if we get a big Brandon Jennings game, just because and this is more of like a DraftKings thing, because that's something I do, but the backup point guards have been very good against the Bulls so in the last few weeks, because the Bulls just have nobody to guard these guys. So BJ could have another sizable big game. I do think the Bucks, I said this yesterday, but I'll repeat it. I think the Bucks are going to rest Giannis for the weekend. I don't see him playing against the Spurs. I think you get him healthy for that West Coast trip where you have games against the Clippers again. You play Golden State. You have games, Denver. You have games that are really losable games. Now, Detroit isn't necessarily on the Bucks' heels, but you think that you maybe can get these two wins without Giannis. We'll see if they are able to do that. We'll talk about that game as well as whatever happens tonight with the Sweet 16 games. Who knows? Maybe we'll get some more craziness and also maybe a little quick view on what to expect with the Elite Eight on Saturday and pick our Final Four for the last time. So once again, SnowTap WI is where you can find us, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, as well as SnowTap WI. It is a website. Subscribe on iTunes, subscribe on Google Play. We'll talk to you tomorrow, Tappers. Take care. Have a good one. Bye.